The New South Wales government has started a massive rescue mission in the Darling River, removing thousands of fish to try and prevent a repeat of last summer's mass fish kills. It comes just days after the Natural Resources Commission issued its final report into water management in the Barwon-Darling River, recommending changes that will make it harder to take water from parts of the river during periods of low flow. Last month, a draft version of the report caused a political row with the state's water minister, Melinda Pavey. Professor Fran Sheldon is a researcher at Griffith University's Australian Rivers Institute who contributed to the report. Welcome back to Breakfast, Professor Sheldon.
Welcome, Hamish.
What's the key message in your final report?
So the final report is actually the Natural Resources Commission for New South Wales' final report, and my advice to the Commission hasn't really changed. So my report was delivered before the draft report was released. The Natural Resources Commission report gives a range of different recommendations, and they are fairly strong, I think, in their view that the river needs to have better management, particularly at low flows.
And just to be clear about this, the reporting around the release of the final report, which was done late on Friday afternoon, was that it had been watered down because of pressure from the New South Wales Water Minister. In your view, has it been watered down?
Not at all. The recommendations have remained fairly solid. The wording around some of the debatable, hypotheses around the extent of low flows in the Darling below Bourke has just been explained in a bit more detail. And that in the draft report and in my advice to the report, those explanations of what we think might have happened since about 2014, 15, 16 up to 19, they've been echoed in previous reports in 2017 and in the Vitesse report and the Academy of Science report that was earlier this year. So this is not anything new. And at this stage, they're questions and hypotheses about what has actually happened in the river post the plan changes of 2012.
The draft report in July, the section that sort of created such a storm was this. It said expert opinion suggests extractions pushed the river below Bourke into hydrological drought 3 years earlier than the upstream section of the river. Can you explain for our listeners in simple terms what that means?
Yeah, so drought's a complex phenomenon and it starts with reduced rainfall conditions, which is what we generally refer to as meteorological drought. And if it continues to not rain, then eventually rivers start to dry up. Now, in small catchments, that can happen quite quickly. But in really big catchments like the Barwon-Darling, it takes a while for the flows to actually really start to stop and then for the flows, for the water that remains in the channel to dry. So in a scenario where you have no extraction, I mean, that may take years after you start to get substantial rainfall decline in the upper catchment. What we were questioning is whether the extractions at low flows, as the system started to move into this drought, which we're currently in, whether the extractions under those low flows actually caused the river to go into what we'd term hydrological drought, which is an extended period of ceased flow, extremely low flow, earlier than it would have done with no extraction. And it's a hypothesis, it's a question, and that's what scientists do. And then the next step of that is to collect some data to build a long-term model and test that hypothesis. I think if the answer is yes, then the way forward's fairly clear in terms of resetting some of the rules around low flows, and that's some of the recommendations in the Natural Resources Commission report. There's a range of recommendations. But Hamish, if the answer's no, then I think the bigger question is what's happening out in the Northern Basin and the Barwon-Darling system? Is this the real impact of, you know, dramatic climate change out there?
So actually, if the answer's yes, it's a simpler solution.
In many ways, yes. And I mean, either answer, we have to understand more what's happening in the system. The cease to flow events and the actual drying of the channel below Bourke at the moment is the most severe on record. And, you know, where you've started this interview by talking about the fish rescue, fish can be rescued. There's a massive regional extinction of river mussels in the Barwon-Darling system. There's probably barely a population left alive. And you can't rescue the river redgums that are sitting along the banks of the river. They're hundreds of years old. And I suspect if this drying continues, the frequency of drying, we'll start to lose them. And then that's going to be a pretty strong, both environmental but economic disaster, because the erosion that would then ensue along those banks would actually have economic impacts.
So at risk of losing the redgums along this river system?
Well, red gums just don't occur in rivers that dry out for extended periods of time. And we know that if you look in further up in the northern part of the basin where, you know, natural drying is much more frequent and longer, they disappear. They get replaced by coolabahs and other species. In the Lake Eyre Basin further west, you only get red gums where water is, you know, permanent river channels or they've got their feet in alluvial water. We know there's very little alluvial groundwater along that part of the Darling, so the red gums need to have their feet in water. And if they don't for extended periods of time, they'll die. And the fact that they've been there for hundreds of years suggests that that section of the Darling held water for most of the time. And the modelling suggests it flowed at Wilcannia for about 94% of the time prior to any extraction.
I think our listeners will want to understand the difference between the draft report and the final one. That term hydrological drought didn't make it in. What it says in the final report is extractions from the base flow band following the introduction of the plan rules pushed the Barwon-Darling system below Bourke into persistence of very low flow conditions 3 years earlier than the river system. So a tweak in the wording. Does that mean something different?
No, it doesn't. And in my technical advice to the Commission, in my report, it says both. So it actually starts by saying push the river into these very low flow conditions. And then to explain what I meant, I likened that to extending the hydrological drought. So both of those sections are actually in my technical advice. And I think in the final report, the Commission's just decided to explain that in more detail. Because I think in some of the media post the draft report, people were suggesting that we'd said that extraction had caused the drought. You know, and I mean, it was really just a way of explaining what we mean, because people can visualise drought because it's happening all around us. These persistent, very low flows in the Darling are like a hydrological drought.
So in response to all of this, I think it's fair to say your credibility was called into question. The New South Wales Water Minister, Melinda Pavey, rejected the hypothesis outlined in the draft report. Here's what she told us on RN Breakfast.
The point that Water New South Wales has been able to prove is that a total of 22 gigalitres was actually extracted upstream of Bourke from a total of 772 gigalitres. So to suggest any extractions was the cause of the drought in the lower lakes, I think, is a little unfair.
Is she right? I mean, is she talking about the same thing that you're just describing?
Not really. I wasn't mentioning the lower lakes, and it was around the section of the river between Bourke and Menindi. And those volumes, you've got to also take into account the amount of water that's actually lost naturally to the system in transmission as the water moves down. So while you compare 22 gigalitres with 700 gigalitres, you may suggest, oh, it's a small amount of water. But you have to understand how flows actually make their way down through the system. Water New South Wales have been doing some modelling of flows post the draft report, and that work's still to be completed. So there's been no proof of anything at the moment. It's an ongoing piece of work, which is exactly what it should be, and it's testing that question. And as I said before, I'm not scared that the answer is no, it didn't happen. It's just, then that actually raises a lot more questions about what is actually happening in the Barwon Darling. That's how science works. You ask questions, collect data, and if you're proved, that's fine. If it's not, it usually raises more questions.
We also need to give you the opportunity to respond to this allegation, essentially, that was made by the Water Minister, saying that your peer review process, completed with somebody that you'd collaborated with many times, raised the question of conflict of interest.
So as scientists, again, I mean, we peer review each other's work all of the time. And the Natural Resources Commission chose the peer reviewers, not me. And I guess they had a choice. I've probably worked with nearly everybody who's actually done any research into the Barwon Darling and published with them as well. And if they'd chosen people that I'd completely not worked with, they wouldn't have had a very good understanding of the Barwon-Darling system. So I think from a scientific perspective, we're all fairly good at peer reviewing each other's work. And to be honest, the peers that you've worked with are often your most strongest critics. And both of the peer reviews that the NRC chose were actually really quite harsh and gave some really good insights and suggestions on how to improve the work. And that's the normal process for scientific work.
The figures around who benefits from the water that is taken out of the system are pretty staggering. The technical report found that 86% of water extracted from the Barwon-Darling system was taken by just 10 licence holders. Now, there are something like 158 in total. We'll be speaking with the Federal Minister for Water Resources, David Littleproud, after 7:30 this morning. Given that the New South Wales government has clearly had some concern about listening to your advice, what would you say to the Federal Minister about how this system is actually working?
So I don't... In terms of who's taking the water out, I mean, I think it's not particularly a relevant point. What the whole report was to do with was just to look at the rules. So it doesn't matter who takes the water out, it's actually the rules that allow the extraction that's at, that are being questioned. And I think it is really focusing back on those rules. Every industry has rules around how it behaves. This is just one of the industries, and these are just some of the rules. So it is, you know, what do we want out of the Bowen Darling? Protecting low flows is just totally vital. When you look at the long-term flow statistics, it always looks like you're only taking a very small amount of water, but that's because it includes all those massive floods. If you really drill down and look at what's happening under the critical flows, the low flows, the things that keep the system going in the long term, that's where you have to start to ask the questions. And a system that's really degraded and it has started to fall into some sort of ecosystem collapse is so much more expensive to manage than a healthy system going forward. So I think it's being brave and saying we need in the long term to protect these low flows, to protect the red gums, to protect fish, because it costs us too much if we don't.
Professor Fran Sheldon, thank you.
Thank you.
Fran Sheldon is a researcher at Griffith University's Australian Rivers Institute.